Okay, what's your verse?
Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Proverbs 2:5-6.
3:5. Good job.
Lord, my heart.
Proverbs.
Proverbs.
3:5.
What do we all have?
Okay, go ahead.
Trust the Lord with all your heart.
Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Matthew 22:37.
Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks to be to God, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, and ever help in trouble.
Well, good morning and welcome to Devonshire from wherever you are. We are on week 8 of our home edition as we're journeying through these days, and we are so grateful to worship together with you. And I want to invite you to join us in worshiping our living God, who has a universe to run, but yet he sees you and he sees me and he knows you and is inviting you to be a part of his story. He hears and he sees our praise and adoration, whether we are in a church building or whether we are at home. This morning, we're going to be hearing from some of our children. We're going to be recognizing Mother's Day. We're going to be journeying through our worship service, and we have singing involved, and we're going to turn to God's word with a message from Psalm 13. And so I hope that you're ready for a great time together. And we're going to have an update from Austin Masser at Rhodes Grove Camp on how things are going there and what they're looking forward to this summer. This morning, as we begin, I want to invite you to turn with me, or just listen to Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7 for our call to worship. The psalmist writes this. He says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God. He is the great King. So come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come together this morning, we want to praise you, and we're praising you, the one that meets us where we are, and you are the one who delights in us. And so we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your greatness. God, that there isn't anything that is outside of your control, but Lord, that you are sovereign. And so we trust you, and we have every reason to sing because you are our living hope. In your name we pray. Amen.
Desperation, I The Father's love is indeed deep for each and every one of us. Yet we so easily turn our attention to lesser things. We forget the good things He's just done. Our understanding is confused, and we do things out of our own selfishness. Psalm 53:2-3 reads, God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand and who seek God. Everyone has turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Yet God pursues us. He meets us where we are and draws us to Himself. His goodness and mercy draws our hearts to His.
Thank you. lives are filled with ups and downs, and God delights in hearing from us. He loves and cares for each one of you. Let's turn our eyes to our only true source of help. I lift my eyes towards the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Psalm 121, 1-3. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Devonshire Church. This is Austin from Rosegrove Campus Conference Center. Obviously, we'd love to be in your church building with you, hanging out and giving you updates that way, but we're actually going to be in my office today for this, but it's cool. I just want to give you some updates about camp and then talk to you about how we're tackling COVID-19 as a camp for our summer programming. So some updates about camp. Right now, we did just get our new executive director. He started on April 20th. His name is Carl Matthijs. He comes to us with a lot of camping ministry experience. He is from Lynchburg, Virginia. He worked at Miracle Mountain Ranch for a couple years and then worked at other camps and most recently was a project manager for a healthcare company. So we're glad to have him on and we're glad to see what we're doing moving forward as a ministry. One of the things that we're looking to do is add a couple more Rosegrove run retreats and we're going to be kind of reassessing our ministry opportunities in the coming months. Some other cool things that have been happening around camp this year. We do have a large number of new guest groups looking to use the facility. Now, obviously, with COVID-19, that isn't happening right now. But as we open back up, that will be happening. We're going to have a lot more guest groups that will be using our facility. So we're super thankful for that and eager to get that started. This summer, we still are offering our Free the Gospel campaign. What Free the Gospel is when we have kids that want to come to camp that cannot afford it, we have people who provide the monies to cover that. So they come to camp at no or little cost to them, and we give them a week of camp where they hear the gospel. So that is something that we are still running. So if you would like to learn more about that, or you are a camper who needs assistance, please contact the office. I'll give you that number here at the end of the video. This summer, we are having the 2020 Rosegrove Summer Games. Since it was supposed to be an Olympic year, we are going with the undefeated summer, and we are pulling that from 1 Corinthians 15:57. Some of the new things that we have brought to camp this summer, we have introduced what we call our TP blasters. They are a device that shoots a spitball wad out of water and toilet paper up to 30 foot. They are one of our new activities, and our campers are going to enjoy that. It is a modified version of paintball, obviously without the compressed air and things of the such. It's just a wad of wet toilet paper. Campers will wear masks and they'll play a bunker style game. Some of the other things that we have brought to camp, we did open up our coffee shop, which we called The Grove, in the fall. That coffee shop is going to be open to our Journey and Quest campers and going to be open to our guest groups as they arrive in the fall. Another cool thing that we did this year is we opened up our new camp store. This camp store is much bigger and we used a lot of unique ways to advertise and put out our merchandise, so we are excited about that. And then on top of that, we have a game room upstairs in the camp store, so that's one of our new things. And you might ask, what did we do at the old camp store? The old camp store is going to be a memorial for over the past 100 years of ministry that Rosegrove has done, along with a memorial to the UB Church for all the years we are partnered with them. As of this moment right now, we are still planning on holding summer programming as planned. We will be making decisions here in the coming weeks as we get more info from the federal and state government levels, and we'll be sure to let you all know about that as soon as possible. As of right now, we are tackling that COVID-19 exactly that way. We're making godly decisions based on the safety of our guests and what the government says is okay, and then what we believe biblically we need to do. And then finally, if you guys could just be praying for us as we tackle these decisions, and for the staff as we make wise decisions that hopefully are still biblically based and also keep safety for our team and our campers. We want to thank you all so much for supporting Rosegrove over the past year and for your continued support. If you would like to, go ahead and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. They're both at Rosegrove Camp for all the progress and any updates about camp and camp life during this time, this season of life. And again, we just want to thank you so much to Devonshire for your support. If you have any questions, go ahead and contact the office at 717-375-4162, or you can shoot me an email, austin@rosegrove. Thank you all so much, and we look forward to seeing you at the camp soon.
Well, a few years ago, I found myself in the hospital emergency room with my son, Nathan. Earlier that night, he had been playing with some of his friends. The door got swung shut. He was chasing a friend out of there, I think, and he wasn't watching where he was going, and he slammed his head right into the side of the door. He had this huge lump. He had blood running everywhere. He wasn't feeling well, and so I was like, all right, buddy, we need to get over to the hospital. And so we found ourselves over there in the emergency room. The place was packed. Like, sometimes those waiting rooms can get full, but it was packed that day. And there were people there for all kinds of reasons. And they were waiting for a long while, and you could tell that some of the people, they were getting frustrated, and they couldn't handle waiting too much longer, and they started to voice their frustrations. They let the staff know, everybody in the room knew that they were so frustrated. You ever been in that kind of place? That place where you're waiting and you're waiting, and we can wait for all kinds of things in our lives, right? Maybe it's for a diagnosis. Maybe it's for an upcoming appointment. Maybe it's for some resources to show up in a bank account. Maybe it's for a response to come back from a question that you've asked so that things can move forward. Maybe it's to see something happen in a relationship. Maybe it's with a spouse. Maybe it's with a child. Maybe it's with a friend, where you just love to see some things happen for the good. There's all kinds of things that we can find ourselves waiting on, and it seems like we've been waiting forever, and we start to question, and we start to wonder whether we can keep on going, whether we're going to make it, and if we're honest, we might even feel like we wonder if God even cares, and how much longer can we wait? There were some people in that emergency department waiting room that day that I think they couldn't handle the waiting anymore, as they just got up and decided to leave. And maybe for you, during these days that we're journeying through right now with the stay-at-home order, maybe that's what these days are like for you. You just aren't sure how much longer you can handle all of this. You're longing to see face-to-face your family and friends that it's been so long. Things are getting harder and harder financially due to the loss of a job. On top of it, it had already been hard previously. Emotionally and mentally, the effects of all that is going on are causing great challenges that are becoming unbearable. And maybe you're a healthcare professional. Maybe you're one of those folks serving on the front lines, and we are so grateful for the work that you are doing there in caring for folks. But you're dealing with those who are directly impacted by this virus, and daily dealing with those who are dying and those who are suffering. Whether it's to this COVID-19 or to some other illness, and all the related stresses, the list goes on and on. There are so many things, and our questioning and our crying out to God is, God, how much longer? How long? And this morning, I want to take us to a passage in the Bible where I hope you can find some encouragement, because I'm encouraged by it. And if we can turn our hearts to hear what God has to say to us today, I know that they will be encouraging to you. And so we're going to turn to Psalm chapter 13. And hear one of David's psalms. And so before we read it together, let's just bow our heads in prayer and ask God to speak to us now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. And Lord, right now we thank you for your word, that you are a God, not a God who is far off and has just left us here without any involvement, but that you are a God who cares and loves us and who speaks to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word now, and we ask that you would speak to us through it, and open our hearts and our ears to hear what you have for us now. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, here's what the psalmist writes in Psalm 13. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. We don't know the context of this psalm. We don't know the circumstances of when it was written. We don't know if it was written for a specific event or out of a specific event that happened in David's life or a circumstance or what it was. But clearly we can tell that this psalm was written by someone who is in a place of distress, in a place of longing, in a place of some sort of trial and hardship, and is expressing that to the Lord. This is a psalm that is so relevant for all of us, right? We've all been in this kind of place. And so the question for us today is, what can we learn from David as he expresses this question of how long to the Lord? And so as we look at this passage, at this psalm, it's really easy to break it into three sections. And so the first section is that of the questioning that I want us to look at in the first two verses. Four times, David is crying out to the Lord and he is questioning him. And the repetition, it can't be missed over and over. Here's what he says. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" Look at his questions. What is he questioning God on here? Clearly, David is in a desperate situation, and his questions reveal how he is feeling about how God is relating to him right now in his anguish. He says, "God, how long are you going to forget me? Is it going to be forever?" I want to ask you, as I was thinking about this question and what it reveals, what does it feel like? Have you ever been forgotten? Have you ever been with a group of people and been forgotten or left out? How's it feel? Not too good, right? Maybe you feel abandoned. You feel like, "I don't know, what am I going to do now?" And he's saying, "Are you going to forget me, Lord?" Yes, are you going to hide your face from me? I mean, when you love someone, and we know that about David, that he loves the Lord. We can read some of his other psalms, and what do they say? But they say, you know, we sing it, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty." He loves the presence of the Lord. Another place he writes, "As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you." He loves the Lord. And here he's feeling like this one that he loves and that he's depending on, that he's relying on, that this person isn't acknowledging him, that he's not turning his face towards him. And if we've ever been in that situation with someone that we love, it kills us, doesn't it? Are you getting the picture of how David is feeling here? In his questioning, we get a real good picture of the state of the heart of the psalmist. How long, he asks, do I have to deal with sorrow all day long? How long is my enemy going to be exalted in? It's a sad situation and he feels like his enemy is winning. What kind of questions and thoughts can come to us whenever we find ourselves in these situations? We can start to wonder if God cares. We can wonder if he's good. We can get all anxious and nervous about all kinds of things. We can wonder that is he even truly a loving God, as he is seeming so distant and afar right now. But here's where I think there's encouragement for us. I love it that God's word deals with real life issues and struggles that we have, because in David's example in this psalm, we find that as he is in a desperate place and he's crying out and he's questioning God and he's modeling for us that it's okay to cry out to God in this manner. It's okay to let the Lord know what is on our hearts, because really he knows them anyhow. And it's encouraging to know that he's big enough to handle our questions, our fears, and our pain. It's okay. But here's the encouragement as we continue to journey throughout this psalm. While it's okay to have those questions, while it's okay to express those feelings that we have whenever we are in those places, what David models for us here is that he is moving from questioning to crying out for help. Look at verses 3 and 4. Let's look at just what does it say there. It says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." Look at how he comes in making this request. While he's bold, and he might even seem demanding in making his request, he says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God." He's still trusting, and he's still relying on God, knowing that he is the one who will carry him through and grant his request. And he says, "O Lord my God." Do you hear that? He says, "My God." And look at his prayer here. He says, "Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." Saying, "I need you, God, so that I can see in the midst of this hardship, in the midst of this darkness that I'm journeying through. I need you to come through and help me keep on going in the midst of this. I don't know how much longer I can handle it, but I'm coming to you, and I need you, and I'm asking you, would you work? I need you to come through and light up this darkness. I need you to give me the eyes of faith to see so that I can keep on going, because I don't want to die. I am faint. I am desperate for you now, Lord." And one more thing he says, "Lord, don't let my enemy win here. Don't let the enemy win here. Don't give him any reason to boast." So encouraging. That even whenever we feel abandoned and forgotten, and it seems like we have been waiting forever and ever, even then, the psalmist here is modeling for us. David is modeling for us the right response. And he draws near to the Lord in total dependence and reliance to the one, the only one who he knows can carry him through the darkness. Throughout this psalm, David is modeling for us what prayer is. In the midst of our questions, the uncertainties that we are faced with pain, the frustrations, the anguish, the anxieties that we're enduring, where does it all take him? Clearly, the Lord is doing something throughout all of this. He's bringing him to the point of crying out to the Lord in total dependence. This week, I was reading through Paul Tripp's New Morning Mercies, and he wrote this line, "Prayer is never about asking God to submit his awesome power to your will and plan. Prayer is an act of personal submission to the always right will of God." That prayer is never about asking God to submit his awesome power to your will and plan. Prayer is an act of personal submission to the always right will of God. And the psalmist here is, with all of his questions, he finds himself on his knees crying out to the Lord in submission to his will and his plans, and he's asking him, "God, would you work?" The Lord is his only hope. God's working in the midst of all of this hard waiting. He has David right where he wants him, fully trusting and relying on him alone. And in that place, David is reminded of God's faithfulness time and time again. And here's where we come to the third section of this psalm. There's the questioning, and there's the prayer, the cry for help. And now look at where he lands. Look at how he finishes out this psalm. There is this song of trust. He says, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." He declares his trust in the Lord. Why? Because of the steadfast love. Because he has experienced the Lord's mercy in his life over and over. And that mercy has been steadfast. It's been rock solid. He knows he can rely on it. The Lord has shown his unfailing love to him over and over and over in his life. His kindness and goodness, his heart is rejoicing in how the Lord has saved him. Do you feel it building? Do you notice here in verse 5, he has trusted in your steadfast love, he says. "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. I have done this. I have seen that you are trustworthy, and I have trusted. And I'm trusting in your steadfast love." And so because here where he started this psalm, and he's crying out with questions. And he's asking all these questions. Where is he landing? But he's being reminded of the steadfast, unfailing love of God. And as he's trusted and he's reminded of that, then he begins and he turns to rejoicing. And then by the end of it, not only is he rejoicing, now he's singing. It just keeps on building. He's trusting, his heart is rejoicing, and he's singing by the end of this because the Lord has been so good to him. He is reminded of God's steadfast love. There's so much encouragement here for the one who finds themselves in the waiting room. And I don't know for you, this is definitely a waiting room of sorts for all of us. And maybe it's a waiting room in other ways for others of us. But it can be a hard place to be. The soul that is anxious, tired, depressed, worn out, and longing can find encouragement here in this passage today. Because even when you can't see it, as we sing it, even when you don't feel like it, God is working. And so here's the encouragement. Express that to God. Let him know. It's okay. Cry out to him. Our God can handle it. But don't stay there. Ask him to move. Do so, crying out to him in reliance and trust. And don't forget how he's been so good to you every step of the way. On this Mother's Day, I asked my wife, Kristen, if she'd share a little bit about one of those times that we found ourselves in the waiting room in our lives. And how, looking back on it now afterwards, we could see God's hands all over the waiting and how he was working in our lives and he was showing us his steadfast love. And so I hope this encourages you.
And back in 2008, we felt the call to adopt, and it's always been a passion of ours, but at that point we felt like God was saying now's the time. So we decided to become foster parents, and so we had begun that process. It was in like September of 2008, and Anthony didn't come live with us until August of 2009. So it was a pretty long time, and I remember frequently during that time of waiting where we really doubted God's voice. Did we really hear God correctly? You know, did we hear his voice, you know, calling us to do this because nothing's happening, we're waiting all this time? But there were some things that happened during that time that really confirmed to us that yes, this is what God is calling us to do. And he would, you know, just all along the way, there were these little things that confirmed it, and just keep trusting, keep following. The first one was that we had a minivan that could only seat 7, and we already had 7 in our family, adding another child would put us into 8. So we didn't have a vehicle big enough to fit everybody. So we were driving one day down 22, and it was a windy, rainy day, and a tree branch actually fell out of a tree and smashed into our windshield while we were driving. And so it ended up totaling our van, and then we took that, we were able to take that insurance money then and find an 8-passenger minivan, which was amazing. And we just really felt like that was God, you know, saying, yes, this is confirmation. I'm going to provide for you. Just trust me. Now this, yes, I did call you to this. So that was the first thing. The second thing that was pretty big during that time was one of our children was not really on board with us adopting. She was kind of nervous, I think, about bringing another, you know, child into our family. And so it probably took the first 6 months of waiting after we were approved where she, you know, was not comfortable with it. And then all of a sudden, like around 6 months later, she said, I'm okay with it now, but I'd really like it to be a baby. You know, and I said to her, I was like, that's really great, but you gotta understand that, you know, the odds are really slim that we will be placed with a baby because that's pretty rare. Usually babies are placed, you know, with their siblings or, yeah, it's very rare. So, I said to her, but you know, we'll see. And she said, okay, you know, it's fine. I really want a baby, but whatever God has for us is fine. So I know that God was preparing her heart, you know, for that, for her to be ready. It just took all that time, and if we had been placed with a child sooner, she wouldn't have been ready. So it was really great to see her come around to that. The other thing that happened was that summer, it was like July 2009, we went to a worship conference, and the conference's focus was on how God is our Father and how he adopts us into his family. And we didn't really know that going into it, and when we got there, we're like, wow, this is amazing. This is God. This is just God confirming that, yes, this is what I want you to do. And I think we really needed to understand too that, you know, that spiritual perspective inside of adoption to really get an understanding of it. And I think God, you know, he just was preparing us for that. And so that was amazing too. Just have that, like, all right, God, yes, this is what you want us to do. So we get home from that. And of course, there's more waiting. We're not getting any call. We're like, oh, you know, and our time to renew our home again for another year was coming up. And we're like, did we really hear God's voice? You know, and we were really considering not renewing our home again because we're like, it's taken all this time. Like, almost say, you know, like, it's been like at least 9 months and we haven't heard anything. And so, but then we got the call
I'll never forget it. It was on a Monday, and it was 3:30 in the afternoon, and the call was for a newborn baby boy who needed a pre-adoptive home, which was a home that where the family was willing to adopt him because he was most likely not going to be reunited with his birth mother. And you know, they had said that there were, at that point when they had made these calls to place him, that there were no other families available who could take him. And so we were like, yes, you know, this is like, wow, like God handpicked Anthony for our family. And even down to my daughter, you know, her desire for another baby. I mean, it was just amazing just to see how God just prepared us the whole way through for this whole thing. And it was such a blessing to see God at work and just to have him confirm, you know, yes, when I call you to something, you know, it may not be in your time frame, it may not be in the way you think, but I will make it come to pass, and you know, I will be with you the whole way at work. And so what has this taught me about God and how he works? But yeah, I think the main thing, even in our adoption of Nathan, I think the main thing that we learned is that when God calls you to something, he will give you everything you need for the process. It hasn't been an easy process, you know, for us the past 10 years, you know, it's been hard. We've been through some hard things, but I really believe that, you know, just having the experience of having God call us to adopt these two boys and then just seeing how he's at work and provides for us all along the way has prepared us for the hard things that we go through now and some of the other, you know, hard things, you know, with older kids and teenage kids. You know, where God says, you're going to go through this, but I'm with you the whole way. And you just look back and you can see how I've worked in your lives, you know, the past, you know, all these years. And it's just been such an encouragement to be able to look back and see him at work.
I hope that was encouraging to you. Plenty of times we couldn't see, but the Lord did. And he showed us his loving care, and he continues to. We all have our own stories of his goodness in our lives, but it doesn't mean that there doesn't continue to be hard times coming. For sure, there are hard times coming for every single one of us, but he keeps on showing his goodness to us over and over, and he shows us his goodness in our lives so that whenever we find ourselves in those dark times and we don't know if we can keep on going, that we can be reminded of all of those times that he has showed up in the midst of the waiting, and he's shown his faithfulness and his unfailing love. So we keep on singing, as the psalmist says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Our God has been so good to us. He has dealt bountifully with us. And in the midst of the question, I want you to know, questioning in the midst of these days, in the midst of the waiting, I want you to know that he loves you. Paul reminds us of this in Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Guys, he's good. We didn't deserve his goodness in any way, but yet he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to make a way for us to find forgiveness, to be cleansed, to be made right before a holy God so that we could have a relationship with him. He has been so good to us. It's his undeserved mercy. And so in the midst of these days, let him draw you nearer and nearer to him, and know that he is working in the waiting. That he's working in these times. That he's using it to make you and shape you. And so are you drawing near to him? Are you holding on to him? Know that he's holding on to you. Are you trusting him? Let him work through you in these days. Let him draw you nearer than ever before. And don't forget his steadfast love and how he has dealt bountifully. God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us, this time together. Thank you for your word. We thank you that in the midst of the waiting, Lord, that we can know that you're working. Time and time again, you have done it. And as we are reminded, and as we trust in you and you alone for salvation, Lord, we find joy, and we find peace in our souls, and we can't help but sing. And so even in the midst of the waiting, we can sing for joy because of your salvation. Lord, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
watch the way you do stuff that's no fun, like cleaning up and changing dirty diapers.
I watch the way you teach us hard lessons.
I watch the way you stayed strong when things looked rough and when things were rough.
I know you do a lot and way more than I realized.
Like showing me who Jesus is.
Or showing me how to be a good woman.
I know that the lives I touch would be better off because of the way you live.
I want to accomplish you, Lord.
Because of you, I know a good leader is servant-hearted.
And generosity is second nature to me because you taught me is how to live.
Happy Mother's Day.
We love you, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. We love you.
Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Well, church, thanks for joining in. I hope you've been encouraged by our time together. Hope you have a blessed week. Moms, have a great Mother's Day. And I look forward to seeing you all soon. Love you. And as we go, here's our benediction. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding,